Thanks, Greg. Yes, we have caught up with music director Yannick Nezet-Séguin. This is a great program of Russian masters.
Yes, this, of course, is as many layers to it, especially when we can revisit our dear Rachmaninoff and his symphonic works. A few years ago, we played this first symphony by Rachmaninoff, and it was my first time, and I was fascinated to see how his writing is different in the way he... For example, the note values, the way he's asking for certain articulations on the page. And yet the result, the final result for the ears is truly, purely Rachmaninoff. And that means that he had the sound he wanted already in mind at a very young age. Even though what was on the page is actually very different, and he refined this technique of writing later on.
Well, I understand the premiere of his first symphony didn't go well. And the conductor, Glazunov, may have contributed to that. And then Rachmaninoff went into a depression and ended up leaving the score in Russia when he left in 1917. And it was only rediscovered in 1944.
Yeah, that's amazing to read. I mean, if the number of pieces in history that we still play and that had bad premieres, it's the majority, you know. But in this case, I think... Rachmaninoff took this especially hard to have this as a failure. And he thought he was a failure. And this is why for a few years he went silent in terms of composition. And thankfully for us, the rise from this depression gave us absolute masterpieces like the Second Piano Concerto, the Second Symphony, that we play a lot these days. But we play much more than this First Symphony. But I happen to think that all his genius was already there. And like many genius composers, the reason why premieres don't go well often have to do with the conditions in which they were played. But more importantly, they have to do with the people at the time not ready quite to understand and to hear and to grasp what was making this so special. And we have the advantage few generations later to see it through a different lens.
Well, we're about to hear it. Is there anything specific we should be listening for?
The first movement, I think, is really striking because it has qualities more connected to Tchaikovsky and even Rimsky-Korsakov than the rest of Rachmaninoff's production. The scherzo also has an extremely complex way of dealing with rhythm. It's a truly exciting piece, but I think I would like listeners to pay attention to what they will find later, slightly different, but still with the same elements in the more familiar pieces they know.
The orchestra has such a history of a relationship with Rachmaninoff, so it's nice to go back and play something that he wrote before he even made that acquaintance.
Yes, that's true. I think his ideas were all in his head when he was young. And then, of course, we pride ourselves to have helped being some kind of a muse for him to go even further in his orchestral writing when he met the Philadelphians.
And the first half, we heard the Stravinsky Funeral Song and Prokofiev Piano Concerto. How do they fit?
Well, I'm very happy to finally bring to our stage this newly rediscovered piece by Stravinsky. The Funeral Song was rediscovered a few years ago. Historians were aware of its existence, but they thought it had been lost completely. And when it was found again, of course, every Stravinsky scholar and every conductor got excited about it. And I love the piece. I love its very dark colors, but also I love that we can hear that it's the same Stravinsky that will do, not so far from the time of composition of this funeral song, the opening, for example, of Firebird with the pizzicato of the double basses and the very special eerie orchestration that is so typical of Stravinsky. It's not the Stravinsky, of course, of exuberance of Petrushka or quite the same raw power of the Rite of Spring, but it's still very refined and does provide, I think, a very interesting link to the rest of the Russian masters who inspired him.
Thank you so much, Yannick Nezet-Séguin.
Thank you.